Well, what I want to talk about this evening would have gotten its root when we were looking at 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 38. Could we have that read? 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 38.
And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee.
Okay, read verse 37 as well.
And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel.
Okay, so here it is. In fact, it's almost like God is in a dialogue with Jeroboam. And he is declaring to him that he is going to make him king over Israel. And he uses an interesting phrase is used. In the King James Version, it says in verse 37, and I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth. Right? And it's almost like God is saying, I am making an agreement with you. I'm making a contract with you, a covenant with you. I'm going into this agreement with you. All right, that whatever it is that your soul desireth, you can reign in that way. And this is interesting, that God is saying, reign according to what your soul desires. And this is profound, because someone said, can you imagine God tell me I can just do anything I want? All right. But what we, among the things we want to zero in on in this, is that when God makes an agreement with us, he always have condition. He always has conditions. And so it is not as free rein and open as we may think. All right, I will make some applications later. But I just want us to zero in on what is being said here. So he's saying, reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. But when we jump into verse 38, and it shall be if. And so that if indicates to us that this free reign or this elevation to be king is going to be conditional on some things. And it shall be if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command. And so when it is that we are about God's business, God may very well be saying, do what you want for me, or do what you want as a Christian, but it is always going to be conditional. Or so it says, do this, and I will hearken, if thou will hearken unto all that I command. But not only did he say, if you will hearken unto all that I command thee, but he says what? And? So just take it from the if. verse 38, and it shall be.
If thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee.
So if thou wilt hearken to all that I command thee.
And wilt walk.
And, so the and is again linking to the if. So if you will hearken unto all that I command you, and if you
will walk in
my ways. So again, we are seeing God's conditionality, that if we hearken to what God commands, he will grant or he will fulfill his part of the bargain. He will meet his part of the agreement. What? If you hearken. If you walk not in your ways, but in
my ways,
says God. Is there any other and?
Yes.
And?
Do that
so
is right.
So again, we're going to link it back to the if. So if you
do that is right.
Do that which is right.
In my sight.
Not in your own sight, but in the sight of God. So are we getting the picture?
Yeah.
That whatever it is that we, our agreement with God, and he gives us a free rein, it's always on the condition, that's the if, it's always on the condition that we hearken to him, we walk according to his ways, we do right, not in our sight, but in the sight of God. Is there any other and?
No.
And do what is right in my sight. Well,
to keep my statutes.
Keep my statutes and my commandments. So far as you keep my statutes and my commandments, I will uphold my end of the bargain. So yes, we are Christians. Yes, we are walking with God. Yes, as Christians, we are in anticipation of an eternity with God. But that is going to be on condition that we, like he was saying to Jeroboam, hearken to what I command thee. Walk in my ways. Do what is right in my sight. Keep my statutes. Keep my commandments that are applicable to you. And so, we see this concept. And it's interesting that the wise man Solomon, who was at rival with Jeroboam, you know, would have said it so many times. You know, profound for me is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 and 10, where that same concept, you know, where it's almost like inspiration is saying, do what you want. And then afterwards, he puts a little bricks on it. You know, yes, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 and 10.
Rejoice, O young man.
So he's speaking to the young people. And he says what? Rejoice.
O young man.
Yes.
In thy youth.
Yeah, in their youth. Rejoice, man.
And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth.
Yeah, let your heart cheer you in the days of thy youth. You know, if something excites you, go for it, man. Do it. Read.
And walk in the ways of thine heart.
Walk in the ways of thy heart. You know? And in that can be a very sweet thing for those of us who are older. You know, do what's right in your eyes, man. You know, do what, you know, you feel good about this. Go ahead and do it. You know, it's like, whoa, free reign. And we can take this out of context. All right, but putting it in context, what does it say?
And walk in the ways of thine heart. And
walk in the ways of thy heart.
And in the sight of thine eyes.
And in the sight of thine eyes. You know, what a opening. You know, it's almost like you get a job and the boss say, do whatever you want to do, man. You know, a free reign. You know, all right, read on.
But no.
But. I see that but. That but is not going to align us to the fact that it is conditional.
Yeah.
And so anything at all that we might just pick out of the Bible or pick up and say, oh, the Bible says, let us always make sure that we balance it or we anchor it, we align it right. Amen. So where the but, pick up at the but again, but.
But,
mm-hmm.
Know thou. That for all these things.
Everything that seems right in your sight and what your heart tell you to do. Yes.
God will bring thee into judgment.
God will bring you into to judgment. So even when we get an open, you know, you say a blank check. You know, anybody ever give a blank check yet? Oh, Lord. Yeah, man. Blank check. Blank check is a nice thing to get, you know. You know? Yeah, man. Get a check on whatever. And then, you know, we tell you what to write in. You know, check sign already. And you say, what? You know? But, you can, man, give you a blank check. Do you know what is in the account? That you might write a big amount. And so much money not in there, so it went bonks. So, you know, so you always have to balance yourself, all right? Nothing is just open and just like that, all right? Okay, but I know that if I get a blank check from certain people, you know, I can write my heart's desire. All right? We won't call any name, all right? Right, Selvin? All right, okay. But the point is that this concept of whatever you want, you know, what your soul desires, we always must balance that because we are going to be guided by what the Word of God wants us to do. We have to walk in His ways. We have to do what is right. And when it says do what you want to do, always make sure that you recognize that at some point you're going to give an account to God. Your actions will have to bring to bear. You have to answer whether it be good or bad. All right? It has to be shored up. You know, so that was Solomon speaking. Hear him speaking again in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. You know, the wise man speaking. And he is going to say, to carry us along this line. As well, read as soon as you find it.
The way of the fool is right in his own eyes.
In his own eyes.
But. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise.
All right. So, you see, you have to, that but, that sort of balances us. And Proverbs 16 and verse 25 shares a similar sentiment. All right. The same wise man, Solomon, that was, you know, a person who Rehoboam had to run from, you know, because he wanted to kill him. All right, yes, 16:25.
There is a way that seemeth right
there
unto a man.
There is a way that seemeth right
unto a man.
Unto a man. But the end?
Thereof are the ways of death.
The ways of death. All right, so when we see something and we are going after it, we have to always balance it because We must always now try to align ourselves with what God wants of us in this situation. When we just follow our own ways, we can run into serious trouble. In fact, you know, inspiration tells us that God's ways and our ways are far apart, far, far.
Amen.
All right, as far as the east is from the west, all right, as high as the heaven is from the earth. All right, look as much as you can, you can't see up there. The end of it.
Sure.
All right, so we have to realize that we should always balance our desires,
sure.
All right, our thinking.
Amen.
By the Word of God, by His commands, His statutes, what is right in God's sight.
True word.
Now, having said this, let's go back to our base text, because what we are looking at is when in a covenant with God, when in a contract with God, all right, we have to bear in mind that it is conditional, all right? And so we are seeing that in the case of Rehoboam and God, in this agreement, in this contract, that God has put conditions on it. But be assured that when we go into an agreement with God, we don't have to wonder if God is going to fulfill his part of the bargain. So it's really our side of the agreement that puts everything in jeopardy. If we can align ourselves with what God has stipulated, we're good. In fact, we're going to see that we have very significant assurance. We just have to make sure that we do our part. All right, so just go back to 37 and 38. Well, verse 38 in particular.
And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee,
yes,
and wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandment, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee.
That I will be with thee. I can't stop there. I want you now to jump up to verse 36. I want you to see something in terms of an assurance that we have from Almighty God. Verse 36.
And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light all the way before me in Jerusalem.
All right, so let me put this in context for you. So the context of this is when God is saying to Jeroboam, I'm going to give you the northern kingdom. I'm going to give you the 10 tribes. I'm going to just leave, two. All right, Judah and Benjamin. All right, and God is going to say to us now that, he's saying to Jeroboam that I am going to be with you. But interestingly, though he's giving Jeroboam kingship over Israel, he's saying, Jeroboam, I am not going to give you the entire 12 tribes over which to be king. Why? He's saying, I am mindful of the agreement. I am mindful of the covenant. I am mindful of the contract that I had with David. Picture this. At this point in history, God was upset with Solomon. Solomon was carrying all kind of false gods in the presence of Israel. All right? And he was upset and he's saying, I'm not going to allow certain things to follow. But because of David and the promise that he had made with David, the covenant he had made, the agreement, he remembers it. And so it's like he's saying, I am going to leave now a remnant. I'm going to leave a portion of Israel with the lineage. So God is saying, I am mindful of the promise, the sure house that I gave to David. And he uses that term. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that I described that one tribe, that David my servant may have a light all way before me in Jerusalem. That's assurance. So then somebody says, what agreement was that? Can we just put a pin right there and we can come back? Let's see where that is. All right, because this type of covenant is something that God has done with several persons. All right, we saw it with Abraham, where he made a promise to him, and we see it with David. Let's quickly look at Abraham, because I'm going to come right back to verse 36 of 1 Kings 11. So in Genesis chapter 17, Pick up at verse, Genesis chapter 4, in 17 verse 4. Okay,
let me find that quickly. Genesis 17, 4.
And verse 4, yes. Following.
As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee.
Okay, so he's speaking now to Abraham, and he's saying, I'm making a covenant with thee, Abraham.
And thou shalt be a father of many nations.
That you will be a father of many nations.
Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram.
All right, so it's not really Abraham. So at this point, the name going to change. So it's changing from Abram to Abraham.
But thy name shall be Abraham.
Yes.
For a father of many nations have I made thee.
Yes. Okay, so all right, we won't dwell on Abraham too much. So, but the point is, he made a covenant. He made an agreement with Abraham. You'll be the father of many nations. All right, and all of that we see coming down, and this is significant when you think that at this point in time, Abraham didn't even have any children. All right, and then when Abraham was up in age up to 100, all right, he still didn't have any children. But here, a big promise was made to him. All right, God fulfilled his part of the bargain. And that's the point I want to leave in respect to that. That when God makes a covenant, when God makes an agreement, it is sure from God's perspective. You know, in Psalm chapter 19, I think verse 7, 8, 9 there about, you know, it talks about the statutes, you know, the testimony. All right, when you go, when you have a testimony or you have an agreement with God, it is sure. You don't have to second guess it, because he's not going to breach the agreement. Okay, so we see that with Abraham, and even though Abraham may have made some mistakes here or there, you know, he remembered the agreement, and in a sense, we are all children of Father Abraham. You know, okay. But let's now look at the case of David, because this is what he's actually making reference to in his discussion with Jeroboam. All right, where in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 following, he says, this is when the agreement is being put in motion. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12.
And when thy days be fulfilled.
And when thy days be fulfilled.
And thou shalt sleep with thy fathers.
All right, that means when you're dead. All right, when you have died. Yeah.
I will set up thy seed after thee.
I will set up thy seed after thee.
Which shall proceed out of thy bowels.
All right, so your offsprings.
And I will establish his kingdom.
And I will establish his kingdom. All right. So God is making an agreement with David. And he's saying, you know, from your line, from your lineage, I'm going to bring, you know, an offspring is going to come. And I will establish his kingdom. Read on. He shall build
an house for me, for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So from the lineage of David is going to come a king that is going to set up, his throne is going to be forever. Verse 14.
I will be his father. And he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity.
You can pause there. Now, so God made an agreement with David. Here it is now that when David died, Solomon, his son, took over. He did, as wise as he was, he did not do well in terms of how he brought false teachings and idolatry into Israel. So he was upset with Solomon. All right? Then, but he, you know, in all of that narrative, he pointed out that he still wouldn't sort of just do away with Solomon, in a sense, you know, because of David's sake. All right? But then he would readily do so with Solomon's son, Rehoboam. All right? But what we see here is that as upset as God got with Solomon and wanted, in a sense, to now change the whole kingship, all right, so that Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, would not continue to reign, he then says, okay, I am going to divert Rehoboam from being king over all Israel, and I'm going to now set you up, Jeroboam, to be king over Israel. However, I will have to divide the kingdom. Why am I going to divide the kingdom, Rehoboam? Well, I am going to divide the kingdom because I made a covenant with David. And because I made a covenant with David, I want to keep that lineage secure. What was the promise? We just read it. From your line, I am going to bring forth a king that is going to have a kingdom that reigns forever. You know who he's talking about? Jesus Christ. All right, and so he made that promise. So now that he is upset with Solomon and saying Rehoboam the son is not going to get Israel to reign over, I'm going to, you know, tear up the things. So he did the illustration, tear up the things and have, you know, 12 pieces and say 10 is for you. All right, that's how the prophet came to him. But in the discourse, all right, let's go back now to verse 36. I think that's where we were. Yeah, 1 Kings 11 and verse 36. Let's read that part again, just to make sure that you are still with me.
1 Kings 11, 36.
Yeah, and verse 36.
And unto his son.
So he's now referring now to he's talking about Solomon. And he said, unto Solomon's son,
Will I give one tribe? That David my servant,
with whom I made a covenant, an agreement,
May have a light always
before me in Jerusalem. You see, when God has a plan, you know, we talk about God had a plan from before the foundation of the earth, that Jesus Christ would come and establish the church. God, don't get sidetracked from that, you know, because that is the eternal plan of redemption. So when we get distracted and upset and, you know, marriages, we separate and we divorce and we go and sell out. God don't get sidetracked with, you know. He knows his plan and all these side things. He's going to focus always on what he has done. But the point is, God is always mindful of his promises. So even when he decides to give another, somebody who is not even from the tribe of Judah, but from the house of Joseph, he's saying, because of the agreement, because of the covenant I had with David, I am going to let one tribe remain, Judah, because I need to preserve the lineage of David, because I made a covenant with him. What is one of the takeaways from that? We should then recognize that when God makes a promise to us, we can be assured that he's not going to switch upon us. What we must make sure is that we keep our part of the bargain, that we try to stick to his word. So no matter what challenge comes and faces us as a church, let us always rest assured that if we stick to the word, no matter what is happening around us, discomfort and, any repercussion, tongue tying up, all right, because of what we're doing, then just stay focused, because God will see us through. It might be unto death, but we have his assurance that he's going to fulfill his side of the bargain. You know, talking about the promise made to David, you know, we see in Acts chapter 2, because we see David and we see the talk about Jerusalem. We saw the fulfillment in Acts chapter 2, verse 29 and 30. All right. Where on the day of Pentecost, that first Pentecost, when the church was established. All right. Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. Men and brethren.
Mm-hmm. Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David.
All right. So you see, this is years after. You know, God has not forgotten his promise. He has not forgotten the covenant he made. He has not forgotten the agreement he made. And he's saying, here it is now, fulfillment time. I speak to you of of David. Read.
That he is both dead and buried.
Right, so David dead and buried.
Mm-hmm. And his sepulchre is with us unto this day.
Yes.
Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him.
God has sworn with an oath to him.
That of the fruit of his loins.
From the fruit of his loins, from his lineage.
According to the flesh.
Yes.
He would raise up Christ to sit.
He would raise up Christ to sit.
On his throne.
On his throne. And we were seeing that fulfilled when the church was established on the day of Pentecost. God has a plan. And so, no matter what is happening around and what he does, as I said, if God has made you a promise, he's going to fulfill that promise. He says, I have to give David a light all way. Yes. You know, there must be a clear line of sight between David and Jesus Christ. So you notice, even though he became king over Israel, that's Jeroboam, he had no lot or part in the lineage. So when God works out a thing, just stick it out. Because we don't know all the side things that are going to happen. But what we know and can be assured of is that he's not going to mess up the agreement that he has made. As I close, I want to just remind us that as Christians, all of us have gone into an agreement with God. Every single one of us. And I'm talking this way because I'm scanning the audience and we are all members here. We have all obeyed the gospel. In that, an agreement, a covenant has been made between God and us. I want us to notice that although we would have obeyed the gospel, heard, believed, repented, confessed, and baptized, that we saw from the same place where we are at, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we were there. Acts 2, verse 42, it says what?
And they continued steadfastly.
So when they became Christians, they continued steadfastly
in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread.
And in breaking of bread.
And in prayers.
And in prayers. Don't ever make the mistake to say, oh, I have obeyed the gospel, I am good. It is important that we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It is important that we are in fellowship one with another. So we can't be Christians and then we are home alone worshiping. Amen. We need the fellowship of one another. Side issue, there are some things that you cannot do as a Christian without other Christians. There are some Christian responsibilities that you have that you cannot do being away from the local congregation. All right, I'll just leave that as a statement and you can take me upon it. As a Christian, our continued relationship with God is conditional. 1 John 1 and verse 7 tells us that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. If. So again, we see the conditionality. Not that we have become Christians mean that we are, the once saved, always saved argument. No, we have to continue walking in the light. Always. The lesson is yours.
Amen, brother. Good lesson.